Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us on This Needs to Be Said today. Our friend Ron Drescher, attorney Ron Drescher, is here, and he's going to talk with us about bankruptcy in the age of COVID-19, coronavirus, that thing that has caused a nationwide stay-at-home order, meaning if you are not considered an essential worker, you're probably supposed to be at home and helping to keep down the possibility of spread. That's one thing. Your health is definitely important. But we talk about the rest of your world included with your health when we talk about bankruptcy. Ron, welcome back. Long time no talk to. How are you?
I'm well, Catherine. You know, I'm, like you just said, I'm hunkered down at home and trying to, you know, work and taking the opportunity to work on some, you know, special projects that I have been thinking about doing for a while. And so I'm doing okay. Thank you. How are you doing?
Actually, because I work from home, there was no big change for me. So I was already using, you know, other sources to bring things to me. I had to change like the preferred contact-free delivery or something like that. So they just set the bag down and I pick it up. But I already work from home, so it wasn't a big adjustment for me. However, for my family, it was a big adjustment for them because they're away from the house. And then when they're here, that's the only time I have to adjust. It's like, what do I do with these people in my space? So it is different. And then around me, my neighbors aren't getting up as early, and you hear children more often during the day because they're not at school. So the outside noises is what changed for me.
Interesting. I could see that.
But
all right.
We're going to talk about bankruptcy and COVID-19 and even how this even matters to each other today, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so I want to tell you some of my thoughts and some of the things that I'm seeing, and some of this will qualify, apply both to businesses and to individuals. First of all, you should not be in a rush to file bankruptcy right now, especially if you've been furloughed or fired, your business has gone under. You know, if you've still got borrowing room in your lines of credit and your credit cards, you may need those to, you know, buy food and, you know, pay the utilities and do other truly essential things. So I am not in favor of rushing out and filing bankruptcy right now. What I think would make better sense for most people who are going to need to file bankruptcy is that you wait until things really start to reopen and it looks like your income is going to resume. That's the time to really think about filing bankruptcy because you've got your greatest hardships behind you. Don't know what kind of hole you found yourself dug into by this disaster, but it's the advantage of bankruptcy to get you to jump out of that hole and resume a normal life. So I think while you're still at home, sheltering, with no income coming in except for perhaps unemployment, I say don't file bankruptcy yet. Wait until things start appearing a little brighter. And then many people are going to be tempted to see if they can dig themselves out. They might say, all right, you know what? I've got that money in my IRA or my 401k. Let's take out a loan. Let's pay those bills. And I admire the heroic sentiment behind that. But I would urge anybody who is considering invading their retirement account to seek their bankruptcy options first, because creditors can never get their hands on your retirement account. And it really was never set up to be a rainy day fund. It was set up to fund your eventual retirement.
Gotcha.
So I would very, very much urge people to put that desire on pause before you invade those accounts. So that's one thing about COVID and bankruptcy planning. And that also goes for businesses as well. I had a chiropractor call me at the very, very beginning of it. And he saw his, you know, his subsequent appointments really declining and down to zero. And my feeling there is, again, if you have a business, you need to be in position when once this crisis opens up to be able to resume your business and perhaps rehire employees and purchase goods and services that are essential to your business. So I would say don't deplete all of your personal resources now before you can go back in. Set those aside. If you have to, bite the bullet, make the hard decisions, lay the people off. I'm sorry to give that advice, but I think it is the right advice so that when things open up again, you have resources to jump back into the stream of business and keep your small business alive. So those are my two main sources of advice for people who are kind of thinking, well, I'm in trouble. Should I bite the bullet and pull the trigger and file bankruptcy now? I say no. Mm-hmm. I advise waiting. Now, on the other side of the coin, oddly enough, this whole mess for some people may provide an opportunity if you time it correctly, because you might be a high-income person who would not qualify for the broad relief that's available in Chapter 7. And because of your income, you might be forced into a Chapter 13 where you have to make a payment over 5 years, every month.
Mm-hmm.
If you have severe income interruption due to this COVID mess, again, I say wait until the end of it, and it looks like your income is going to be picking up again.
Mm-hmm.
Because we look at the last 6 full months, and my guess is you will have had pretty significant income interruption for March and tremendous income interruption for April. And I don't know what May is going to bring, but you'll probably have some income disruption for May as well. So if we put your bankruptcy off until June, when it seems most likely that things will really start picking up in a flurry, then we're going to go back and we're going to look at the full income from May and the full income from April and the full income from March and then, of course, February, January, and December. And those 6 months might be enough to allow you to get into Chapter 7. When otherwise you would be in a Chapter 13.
Gotcha.
So that might be amongst the dimmest of silver linings imaginable, but it is a potential opportunity for people who would otherwise have needed to consider their bankruptcy options going into the quarantine. Now they might really be able to get the best available bankruptcy relief once the quarantine begins to open up.
Gotcha. You know, we talked about this in another interview probably at least twice, you and I, and I would say, okay, Ron, when is the right time for a person to come? And over the time that we've been talking, nothing really happened like COVID-19, right? So we didn't have like, hey, your listener, you're being impacted right now, because before it was very personal, very private. Contact Ron on your own about your own topic. It won't be a one-size-fits-all. And it's still not a one-size-fits-all, except for the part where everybody some way is affected by what's going on right now. Go to the grocery store physically. You have to, you know, be mindful where you're standing. Some people are wearing masks. Some people are not. You know what I mean? So we've talked about when to file for bankruptcy, when to know and see the signs. And for me, because we're in this moment, it's so vivid for me. And this could be anybody USA, anybody in the world, but anybody USA, as we're speaking, it's affecting you.
And I'm listening to what you said about, you know, this could be an opportunity, even though it's a crisis, and the timeline and how you just mapped it out. I was like, okay, well, you see where you are right now. If you're laid off or, you know, you see a severe income interruption. I wrote that down because I like the way he put that. So you see this and you said, okay, this is the timeline. We're looking over 6 months. And if you go at the beginning of the epidemic, then you'll maybe get one option. But if you wait and you can stand the pain a little bit and see, have a better picture of what your financial picture is going to look like, because the first 3 months, yeah, you had money, but you also had a job. Now, you don't have a job, but there hasn't been time between you not having that job. So the way you just explained it, Ron, my mind is like, wow, perfect timing, perfect example. This applies to everyone. Everyone has to listen. And I think this will stick to any personal situation they'll have. And they'll say, well, you know, Ron talked to us about COVID-19 and how to, you know, see if we can put ourselves in a better position to get the best option if we need to file bankruptcy. What else can I do? How else can I apply this? And I'm really lingering on that point, audience, because I want you to think about when you have one example, it fits somewhere else. And before, I didn't have one that touched everybody. Maybe some people lost a job. Maybe some people had medical expenses. But everybody is having to stay at home now. So that's what makes the difference here. So with
you know,
this one example, go ahead.
Yeah. You know, Catherine, I tell my wife because we're sheltered together. So you know, coronavirus is not the top story; it's the only story.
Wow! Yeah.
So I mean, right? You look at cable news and you read the paper. Everything it's all coronavirus for good reason. I mean, none of us talking. Have ever been through anything close to this. So this puts me back to a kind of my general philosophy about bankruptcy. I frequently tell people that bankruptcy is a four-letter word, and that word is gift, because
G-I-F-T.
It really is G-I-F-T. It really is the opportunity to, you know, climb out from things that are oppressing you to kind of get a blue sky again. And
yeah.
Another thing that I tell people about bankruptcy is, you know, most people when they take on a debt, almost everybody, when you take on a debt or you live your life, you have a plan. You have a plan for how much each month you're going to pay towards that debt. And most people are very prudent. They really are. And most people that come to see me are prudent, you know. But bankruptcy becomes necessary when your plan goes awry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so how are the different ways your plan goes awry? You know, you've got a small business selling greeting cards and Walmart opens up across the street. You get sick. You get injured. You lose your job. You get divorced. All of these things. Your child gets sick. I've seen all of these ways that people have an unexpected wrinkle that comes up that interferes with their plan. And now we've got the biggest of all. This is the biggest wrinkle of all, where the entire world is shut down. And, you know, the ripple effects of this are going to be astronomical. And I think of, you know, you think of the, you know, the sporting events being canceled.
Oh, boy.
Okay, well, the players go without, and the vendors go without. And you know what? You got a guy who has a little, like, piece of ground, you know, half a block from the stadium, and he, you know, supplements his income by charging $10 for parking. He's going without.
Yeah.
The ripple effects.
And then for the people who is all for the consumer, you know, so you don't have the entertainment. They don't have the employee. It's everything.
You
so
know,
if you
look,
spent
you know,
Sunday
we,
getting a break,
look,
watching
let's say
football.
You have a dry cleaning store. You have a dry cleaning store. We have, you know, but people aren't going to work. So they're not wearing their suits. They're not wearing their blouses. They're not wearing their pleated skirts. They're not wearing their you know, starch collar shirts. That means that the laundry companies, the cleaners, are suffering.
Car detailers. I mean, any.
Listen,
the airport. Go ahead.
States and local. Here's another one. Look, let's say even a big company, a company like Costco, big company, all right? So let's say you've got people that are relying upon performance bonuses to take a vacation.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Well, the performance bonus is not going to be there because the company doesn't have the money. You don't have the vacation.
Mm-hmm.
That means that, all right, nobody's like going to be weeping for Disney World. But how about the small motels around Disney World that host people on a budget? And how about, you know, the small restaurants around Disney World? How about the guy who parks a car on a valet by the airport? You know, the ripple effect is just going to be unimaginable.
I think because we have never seen it before, we have heard about things. I can't even say this, but we've heard about things. We've read history books. Grandparents have told us things. We've never lived it. And it's really hard for us to wrap our minds around it. I ask different people, what's the reason you think that particular communities are not taking it seriously? Someone emailed me and said, well, I heard that the Mecklenburg County's health director says the African-American community isn't taking it seriously. Well, I went to the African-American community and said, hey, I hear. We're not taking it seriously. What's the reason? And the people that I talked to said, well, one, it's not just the African-American community. Two, people don't know how to properly protect themselves. Three, people aren't understanding how to adjust. And four, a lot of your low-skilled workers are in your minority groups, so they're going to be out anyway. So I was like, wow, so it's not just blatant disrespect. So then we have our opinions of why this person or this group isn't doing, but it's a ripple effect because if those low-income, low-wage workers don't go to work, we won't have a lot of the things that we need too, just basic groceries, going to get gas at the gas station.
Catherine, I could go further than that. There's a couple of really interesting things. First of all, the more high income you have, the more flexibility you're likely to have in the ability to work from home and work remotely. If you are in a lower income service business, you know, I mean, if you're a waiter or a waitress or something like that, you can't. It's more of a class problem, in my opinion, than a race or ethnic problem. Another thing is lower income people have less living square feet per person, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a higher income person, you've got a larger dwelling place, whereas if you are a lower income person, you're living on top of other people in the apartment house or the projects or something like that. Of course, there's going to be a greater spread amongst that community. I think it's hogwash to say that the African-American community is not taking it seriously. Every time I go out, I don't see any distinction between, you know, African-American people, Asian people, Hispanic people, white people. They've all rolled their sleeves up, put their masks on, and are doing their best. That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah. I am in agreement with you. I was like, wow, okay, I'm in the African American community. Maybe I missed something, you know. Right. But I give a valid airtime, you know, to people to say, okay, well, you know, because that's what happens with stereotypes. We figure bankruptcy is bad, right? When we've talked repeatedly, that this is part of your rights. This is in your constitution to have this right to be able to reset yourself, you see? So it's okay, you know? It's okay for people to, you know, think that something isn't right, or because that gives us the room to talk about the elephant in the room. The elephant here is, I don't care who you are, what class you're in, you're being affected, because even if it's not you directly on your job, like you said, a higher wage earner has more flexibility. A lower wage earner has lower flexibility, lower options, less options, right?
So it affects all of us, but that person on the bottom probably bags your groceries, probably parked your car for you. You know what I'm saying? So we all work together, and we're all important in this. However, what we don't understand is what is available to us no matter what class we're in. Whether you're a low-wage earner or a high-wage earner, you're able to use this gift that Ron just pointed out. It is a gift of resetting yourself financially. But it's not just go out and quick fix it. It's really your plan went off trail, and you're just trying to get back on track.
Yep.
This is not a get out of paying your bills kind of thing. You really have to understand what's available to you. You know what I mean? We could talk about so many different things, so many ripple effects, so many, if we would have done this, we would have had this kind of behavior. You know, if wherever you're living, you feel like your official, your government isn't doing right by you. It didn't start when we had COVID. It started with us not understanding what we have available to us. And in resetting your finances, bankruptcy is one of those things. Ron, I'm going to shut up.
That's okay.
Audience is enjoying us talking, but I want to make sure that they understand, you know, your purpose in being here today, talking about bankruptcy in the face of the age of COVID-19.
Right. And so, you know, my office, I've always tried to make life convenient for my clients. And so I've had a remote bankruptcy product for years where my clients really never have to leave their house to do the bankruptcy. We do mm-hmm. the consults over the phone. Everything is done by email, or you can upload your documents. You know, you can sign them all remotely. You don't have to come to my office to do that. And it used to be that the only time you had to leave your house to do the bankruptcy when you used my firm is to go to the meeting with the trustee, which in Baltimore mm-hmm. is at the federal courthouse. But now all the courthouses and all the bankruptcy courts, at least in my jurisdictions, mm-hmm. Are doing telephonic trustee meetings. And, mm-hmm. you know, so now literally – I mean, look, if you're being garnished and there are still garnishments going on, there are still bank account seizures going on, there are still reasons why you would have to file bankruptcy that are pressing, and we can take care of that. My hope is that this experience will cause a sea change in the bankruptcy universe so that from now on, all of my clients will be able to appear telephonically at their trustee meetings, because, you know, to me, that's a terrible irony that the meetings are 5 or 6 minutes long, but mm-hmm. they run late and you have to take a half day off work. So we're talking about the most at-risk population. People who need to file bankruptcy have to take a half day off work to go to a trustee meeting that can just as easily be conducted over the telephone. So let's all keep our fingers crossed that this experience we're having will cause very traditional and old-fashioned ways of looking at the world to change for the better of everybody. And I'm hoping that we get that opportunity as well.
I'm listening to you. I'm seeing it. And I've heard someone say multiple times, different people say, business is not going to be able to go back to the way it used to be. And I am seeing opportunities. I'm seeing that we should have had social distancing anyway. Have you ever been in a store thinking, gee, you're too close to me? You know what I mean? So I'm hoping that even for the people that are mostly affected by things that, if they took time off from work, would really impact their household, I'm hoping that a service like being able to do the trustee board meeting after this pandemic, I hope that it continues. I hope that we find ways to, you already are going through something, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be traumatic, like terrible, but you have to go and do this process. If we have a better way to do this process and still get the same, you know, the end result is we need to have the meeting with the trustees, then great, because now you have really enriched this person's life with this gift. Yes, you must go through these things. Yes, you know, whatever the process is for bankruptcy. And when we get here, we're not going to continue to make it hard for you. Even though it's been the process forever, I hope it does get to change, Ron. I really do. I hope a lot of things get to change for the better, and that we are able to, I just really want people to see this as a gift. I had to use bankruptcy years and years and years ago, and I felt so bad, so ashamed, so guilty, so, oh, I did something wrong. And I have to tell you, Ron, and I'm trying not to cry, because this has been lots of years ago. It was bad.
I'm gonna tell you something. I had a house foreclosed 30 years ago, and it was the worst feeling in the world. But things happened in my life; couldn't be helped. I was already a bankruptcy lawyer by then. But people just go through stuff, and that's the plans go awry. They do.
And it's not that you're a bad person. Yeah. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean you like skipping out on your bills. It doesn't mean those things. So when I've been doing these interviews, you guys, I know what it's like to have to make the phone call. And
I think that if people were more willing to ask for help, it would be a better world.
It would. There are people that are willing to help you, but we don't know what to do. We humans don't know what to do for the other humans. And if I offer you something, it may not be what you needed, but it's the thought that counts. No, it really didn't help me this time. So if we would ask for help, just if I say no, maybe Ron says yes. If Ron says no, maybe the next person says yes. You know, we want a shortcut and we want it easy and we want no problems. And if we just set it and forget it, life is great. Life takes effort. You got to participate. So, yeah, I think if we did, and if it wasn't for, and even with me, I don't mind asking for help, but it still hurt my feelings. But if I didn't do it, I would have been stuck with an option that couldn't work for me. Good thing for me, I was in a space where my attorney was able to give me options and say, you do this, you make the monthly payment. You do this, it's a clean slate. And either way, it didn't feel good because I'm like, I owe these people. This is bad, right? But I also needed to reset. And I had three children, and I'm a single mom kind of thing, you know. So they didn't need for me to try to be the hero and do it all myself. I needed help. So I used my gift. And the thing about it, I didn't know at the time, and not that I intend to have to use it again, but I didn't realize it wasn't a one and done, you know. But you do have to, you know, do your best. But you got a clean slate now. You can begin again and try to do better. And I have to say, you know, I didn't have your program of the 750, Ron, but to get me back to 750, but I am in better position than I was before. I actually, if I would have left it alone. So I know for myself that it was good. I didn't feel warm and fuzzy like I do when I talk with you, and I don't feel better educated, but the person, you know, let me cry and they helped me get through the process. It wasn't a warm, sympathetic thing. It just kind of was like, well, this is where you are. And this is what we can do. And it felt cold, and it may not be what they meant, but when I had the opportunity to interview an attorney who cares and does bankruptcy, I was like, suspicious, but let's go for it, you know? And over time, I'm like, wow, these are the attorneys I would have loved to, you know, and I want more people to see that. It's a relief. It's not a magic wand. It's a relief. This is your right. You get to use this. This is for you to reset. And everyday people go through it. Our bankruptcy attorney just shared he's gone through it. Your radio host said she just went through it. It's anybody can get it. Anybody can be affected by it. You know? So, Ron, thank you for letting me get myself together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm glad you were able to get help back when you needed it.
Yes. Oh, my gosh, yes, yes. It was terrifying. But it didn't have to be. It didn't have to be. And the more we educate people, the more they'll realize, hey, this is when I need to do that, you know. And even other things that aren't exactly related to bankruptcy, I guess it is, because you said bankruptcy, your creditors cannot take your retirement. People listen to these things. Listen to these things because you may feel guilty. I have this money in savings, but it's for a reason. If it's for retirement, make sure you don't, you know, mess up tomorrow trying to fix today. All right? Ron, before we get out of here, I know we are over time. We're going to have to get together again soon. But before we go, let people know how to get in touch with you outside of This Needs to Be Said.
You know what? Dresherlaw.com, D-R-E. scherlaw.com, my website. I have 250 videos on my YouTube channel that'll answer a lot of your questions. And that's Maryland Bankruptcy Lawyer. If you Google Maryland Bankruptcy Lawyer and my name, Ronald Drescher, you'll find my YouTube channel, and there's a lot of information there.
Thank you, Ron, so much. Thank you, and until next time, you have a super day.
My pleasure. You too, Catherine. Stay safe.
Thank you. Okay.